I would like the video to be played now because we need to commence after the video has been played. Amen. Yeah. So that you can see where we are standing today. That is Abel Damina's teaching. I want you to listen to it carefully. There are errors in that teaching that need to be corrected. Amen. Yeah. We need to point out. All right. You give people fish, they shouldn't eat the fish with the bones.
Moses was not born again. Adam was not born again. Elijah wasn't born again. That's the difference between life before the cross and life after the cross. Without the cross, there'll be no Christianity. Without the cross, there'll be no salvation. Without the cross, there'll be no eternal life. Before the cross, nobody was born again. Moses was not born again. Adam was not born again. Elijah wasn't born again. Elisha wasn't born again. Enoch wasn't born again. Nobody could be born again before the cross. Oh yes, they believed. But believing didn't get them born again. Why? Nobody could get born again till Jesus rose from the dead. Everybody who believed before Jesus came, they believed in a promissory note. They didn't even have the substance. They had shadows. They were under shadows. They didn't have the reality. So when they died, they didn't go to heaven. Enoch didn't go to heaven. I know you think Enoch went to heaven. Enoch didn't go to heaven. Elijah didn't go to heaven. No, listen. None of them went to heaven. Why? Nobody could go to heaven. And heaven couldn't come to man. There was a barricade between heaven and earth. So where did Enoch go? I'm going to show you in a few minutes. Are you here? Okay. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Watch. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I hoped, and when I died, I never saw. This faith is the faith the Old Testament people operated. That's not the same faith you are operating. And you know, sometimes teachers of the word use this faith to teach believers faith. You can't use Hebrews 11 to teach believers faith. Because Hebrews 11 is for people that believed before Jesus came. So their faith was substantiated by a hope that never materialized. Somebody say, can you prove that? Sure. Hebrews 11:39. Hebrews 11:39. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They obtained good report, but no promise. They kept hoping till they died. They never saw. I don't know if you're hearing here. Okay. So now, Hebrews 11, to show you that those Old Testament people never went to heaven. Who are those people in Hebrews 11:3? We understand through faith that the worlds were framed, the aeons, not the cosmos. The aeons was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. And he's talking about the different worlds. The world of Abraham, the world of Noah, the world of the prophets, the world of all the Old Testament people. All their worlds were framed by the word of God. And I'm going to show you how that happened in the next verse. By faith, next verse, by faith Abel. So the people who believed and never received the promise, one of them is Abel. Abel believed, but never saw the promise. How did Abel believe? When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God came down, took an animal, skinned the animal, used the skin of the animal to cover their nakedness. God was communicating to Adam that the only way a man can be saved is through the blood. So salvation was preached to Adam at the point of the fall. So Adam preached to Cain and Abel that anytime you young men want to approach God, you can't approach God because of your state. You will require an animal to speak on your behalf. So now Cain and Abel wants to approach God. Abel remembers the message of Adam. He takes an animal. Cain, very proud, says, I don't need an animal. I am a successful farmer. I will take my harvest and my harvest will speak for me. Abel said, there's nothing I have that is good enough other than the blood. He brought animal. God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. When you come to God based on your morality, he rejects you. When you come to God based on what Christ has done, he accepts you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't know if I'm teaching here. So, the world of Abel and Cain was framed by the word of God. Now, watch this. Next verse. Give me the next verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before the translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So now, he didn't tell us that Enoch went to heaven. He only told us that the guy was translated. But religion concludes what the scriptures has not concluded. Because he only told us that the guy was translated. Just like Elijah, the chariots translated him. So now, if Elijah and Enoch were translated and they never went to heaven, where did they go? Verse 13 of the same chapter. Because the same chapter interpreted what happened. Look at it. These all died in faith. So Enoch died. It was a death. It was just a different type of death. Elijah too died. It was a death. It was a different type of death because nobody could go to heaven until Jesus came. So where did they go? Jesus told us where all of them went. He told us a story to help us catch this lesson. He said there was a man called the rich man and there was another man called Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus died and two of them went underground. The rich man was in hell. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. That means Abraham's bosom was on top of hell. That means they were close enough that the rich man could speak and Lazarus and Abraham could hear, and Lazarus and Abraham could speak and the rich man in hell could hear, because they were communicating. Are we here? So what happened? Everybody that died in the Old Testament that believed God through the message in shadows went to paradise. Paradise was underground. Then there was Hades, which is the place of outer darkness, where the spirit of people without Christ was assembled. And they were all waiting for the day of redemption. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them were gathered in paradise waiting for redemption. And those who didn't believe in Jesus in typology were in Hades waiting for judgment. So when Jesus died, Kebataka, I feel this thing. When Jesus died, are you here? When Jesus died, he told the guy, I will take you with me to paradise. When he took him on the way to Hades, he deposited him in paradise. Then he crossed over to Hades. What was he doing in Hades? I will tell you tomorrow. Watch. In the Gospels, Kaya, are you here? It's catching me. In the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it is eyewitness account, you will not find what happened from the cross to the throne. Because the best of a man you know as a man is until he dies. You know everything around him while he's alive. The moment he dies, your knowledge of him ceases. Because you don't die with him. So you don't travel with him. So when Jesus died, Matthew didn't know what happened. Mark didn't know what happened after death. Okay? Luke didn't know. John didn't know. So it took some years. Then God opened the eyes of Brother Paul. So we will need Brother Paul to open to us from the moment Jesus died, what happened from that moment to the moment where he rose. We will walk there tomorrow night.
Yes, you are welcome back to the studio of the Beth Israel Ministries. We all watched what Dr. Abel said in the church of, I think that church is in Abuja, I think, where he spoke that thing. I think. Amen. Yeah. Because I think I went to Abuja when I saw the billboard on the road, and I think he had already done the program before I came in. You can see the number of audience he's having there. Some of the things he said, I'm sure some of you did not know they were true. Like, those men did not go to heaven. That is true. That's biblical. None of them went to heaven. Yes, they went to paradise. The bosom of Abraham. That is what Jesus said. So it is true. Yes, it is true that those men were not born again, but it is not true that Adam was not born again. That's the part I want you to know. I told you half-baked gospel means a bread that is baked but not fully baked. He said Adam was not born again. There are two people in that list that they were born again. Two people. Now, the world was given to Adam. Adam lost the world when he disobeyed God. The Bible said, whosoever you listen to him you are a slave. So Adam listened to the serpent. He listened to the voice of Satan. So from the day Adam ate that fruit, Adam became the servant of Satan, who is the master of sin, the master of rebellion, the master of disobedience. Amen? So, the world was taken away from Adam. And that world was condemned. Only one man was saved. Noah. The world was not handed over to Noah. God said, you will now be the new Adam. But Noah's evil, Noah's mistake of drunkenness that led to the child having homosexual relationship with him without his knowledge, and he cursed the child, sin entered the world again. The curse entered the world again. When Noah came from the ark, what was given to him was blessing. When Adam was created, what was given to him was blessing. But when he cursed his child because of the sin the child committed with him, then we have cursing entering the world again. So God said, I will not destroy the world again, because it will mean I will be starting the world all over again. So God found a man called Abraham. Amen? In fact, his name was primarily Abram. It was God that changed it to Abraham. But let's just anyone is the same one, Abraham. So God found Abraham, and God walked with Abraham. This time he did not condemn the world so that he can save Abraham and his descendants and start a new world. Because that has been the nature of God. In fact, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they were disobedient to God, God suggested, let me kill all of them and start a nation of Israel with you. So it's just the way God is. That every time people build up sin, he thinks of ruining everything, as he looks for one man he can start all over with. So, but in the case of Abraham, God said, no, I will not do as I did in the case of Noah. I am going to walk with Abraham as my friend. And I'm going to begin to work out the salvation of mankind. Amen? In a way that I can redeem people without destroying the whole world. And eventually, when I have redeemed people and time has ended, because this world has time limit. God cannot stop this world if the period of time he set is not finished. You understand? If the period of time he set is not finished, God cannot stop the world. But God has to be winning souls to himself, because when the time is up, and the trumpet blows, and all that is written in the book of Revelation is done, the Lord will put aside this earth and the heaven and bring about a new earth and a new heaven where all those who are saved will be the occupants of that new heaven and new earth. And it will never end again, because sin will never be there again. That is what God says. Amen. So God started with Abraham in order to produce salvation. So who are the two people that were born again? Now let me explain what born again means. The word born again is not an encounter with God. No. The word born again is not a spiritual word. It's a natural English word which has the equivalent of it in the language that Jesus was speaking. I believe Jesus was speaking Hebrew, proper Hebrew, because he was speaking to a learned man, Nicodemus, when he brought about born again. But most of the teachings of Jesus were not done in the proper Jewish Hebrew language. It was done in what is called Aramaic. Aramaic language is the language spoken in the Padan Aram. Padan Aram is like saying a region. You understand? It's like a region. So They spoke a common language that broke the language barrier. So the equivalent of what we may call Aramaic is broken in Nigeria now. Everywhere you go, people speak broken. All right?
Yes.
So our broken may be different, but you can tell that we are speaking broken English, because not everybody knows this proper English. But they speak one broken or the other. Even the Hausa man will speak, I come, I follow, go, I come. You understand what I'm saying? It's part of the whole thing. So Aramaic was like that. And Aramaic was mostly spoken in Galilee, because Galileans had a place called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a place that they keep people who can't identify their lineage as Jews, but they claim to be Jews. So strangers in Israel were put there. As a result, when Jesus found himself in Nazareth, Nathanael said, how can the ruler of the Jews come from Nazareth? The National Assembly, the ruling people will never accept it. Because Nazareth means you can't identify who you are, where your tribe comes from, where your lineage. So how will a Messiah come from Nazareth? But Jesus hid there because his life was in danger. Herod will never look for Messiah in Nazareth. Because it makes no sense. So he lived in Nazareth to save his life for the danger of Herod. And he grew there in Nazareth for peace. Because if he goes to live in Judea, or he goes to live in his own Bethlehem, they will find him and kill him. Because his age grade have all been killed in Bethlehem. So he's the one that survived. They will catch him and kill him. But in Nazareth, they will consider him to be a stranger who came into Israel, who couldn't prove himself. So he would be saved there. That's why the Jews kept on saying, you are a bastard. Nobody knows your father. If not, why are you living in Nazareth? All right? Prophets don't come from Nazareth. Prophets must be properly defined, which family they come from, which tribe they come from in the land of Israel. Okay? So, what led me to that? So, Jesus lived among his people as a Nazarene. Now, I will remember what led me to that. Adam, if you notice, the man who baptized Jesus said, of all men born of women. In John chapter 9 verse 56. Go to John chapter 9 verse 56. You are going to see. I won't go to John chapter 9 verse 56. Let us look at Matthew chapter 11 verse 11. 9 verse 56 is too far from where I'm trying to quote now, but it is involved in the teaching. I'm just being careful not to just be an open-ended past preacher, because we are dealing with a sensitive issue here, and we must stick to the facts on ground. Amen? If not, I can preach like he's preaching open-endedly, and quote scripture, and if there is anything, like I say, put it up, and then we'll read it together. But I want to be careful. Hallelujah. 11:11. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Among all those born of women, excluding Adam. But Adam was not born of women. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So from Abel down to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the greatest. Why? If you notice, in the Garden of Eden, when the man sinned, their relationship with God was ending. And the last thing that God did for them before he drove them out of Eden, all right, was to kill an animal and place the animal's skin around the man and the woman, symbolic of the death of Jesus that will redeem man, which he saved, and it is right. But that is not the only reason for that. It was actually an identification mark to identify man. Amen? Amen? So, John the Baptist symbolized how Adam was the last day that he and God were to see and part way. That is the greatest that a man was after the fall. After the fall, the greatest, the purest, and the cleanest that a man was after the fall was as Adam was when he was being driven out with animal skin. So when the Lord was to come looking for man again, he found him exactly as he left him, with animal skin. So that John the Baptist symbolized the fallen Adam. He alone was the first person to see God. So that scripture, no man has seen God, does not include Adam. It doesn't include, because Adam, the first person he saw was God. God was the one that created him. So God didn't hide himself from him. God revealed himself to Adam. Adam saw God. So no man has ever seen God at any time, does not include Adam. Because the Bible tells us that Adam saw God. God came and spoke with him. He lived with God. So no man has ever seen God at any time, starts from Abel, Cain and Abel, down to John the Baptist. So when God was to come, it is only Adam that has to introduce God to the people. So John the Baptist was a type of Adam, the fallen one, reintroducing the second Adam, which is born exactly as the first Adam. The first Adam had the body of the flesh, never seen before. The second Adam also had the seed of the woman being fertilized by the Holy Spirit. The first Adam, the flesh was taken from the dust and the breath came from God. The second Adam, the flesh was taken from the dust, which is the seed of the woman, and the breath came from God. So that Jesus was the second Adam, in the same image and in the same makeup as the first Adam. So you need to understand, all the power that Jesus displayed was the power of the first Adam. He didn't display beyond the power that the first Adam should display. Jesus was created exactly as the first Adam. So every temptation that the first Adam failed is the same temptation that the second Adam faced and succeeded. Jesus did not come with an extraordinary power of God. He is a man born of a woman. So even when he was saying of all men born of a woman, he himself was inside. Yes, he agreed that John is greater than him. But John knew that this is God. He is greater than me. But he said, you baptize me. You are the one to introduce me to the world. You are the Adam that will introduce me back to the world. It was through you that I was locked out of mankind. And it is through you that I will be brought back into mankind. Amen. And he said, please let me be part of the mankind. He said, no, you cannot. Your own baptism, this is where you stop. The baptism of John is not the same as the baptism that we do in the church. The baptism of John was for the remission of sin, the baptism of the church is we are buried with Christ and raised with him. That's the meaning of our own church baptism. But what John was doing is he would stand in the Jordan, in the middle of the Jordan, he would take a bowl and pour water on you. That is the baptism for the washing, for the remission of sin. We are not baptized in the church for the remission of sin, because we have already been forgiven at the cross. When we say, yes, I believe you died for my sin, we receive, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We receive forgiveness by the on the cross through the blood. We come into the church. So the baptism is not for the remission of sin, for there is no sin to remit. We are now forgiven. Our sins are washed away. The baptism is to bury us in Christ and to raise us up in his resurrection. That is the meaning of the church baptism. That is what Abel Damina does not understand. So he rules against baptism in the church, thinking it is the same thing that John the Baptist was doing that Jesus we are doing in Christ. Now the Bible says Jesus baptized, but not he that baptized by himself, but he gave the baptism to his disciples to do. He himself did not baptize. Amen?
Amen.
The baptism that Jesus baptizes us with is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But inside that baptism, we are told to baptize every believer with water. Not for the remission of sin like John, but for the confirmation of Christ whom we are buried with Christ and we are raised with him. That is the reason for that baptism. Do you understand now?
Yes, sir.
So if person like Abel Damina understood the second baptism in Christ, he will not speak against it as if it is the first baptism in John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is the greatest born of women because his righteousness is as Adam was before he was driven out. But his righteousness was not up to how Adam was before he fell. So Adam is greater than John, for he was not born of a woman. He was born of the Spirit. So Adam is who we are born again unto. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
All this born again means to be restored to how Adam was before he fell. That's why the second Adam had to come. In the nature of Adam, with nothing more or less than how the first Adam was. He was a living soul, lived as everyone. But then his blood was pure as the first Adam before the fall. And it was that blood that was offered. And he offered himself as Adam, not as God. Amen.
Amen.
But it is in the resurrection that he became a life-giving spirit. That means he gives life. Before the resurrection, he could not give any life to anybody. He was only promising him, he that believeth shall have. But when he died and rose from the dead, he didn't become a living soul again. He became a life-giving spirit. That is why he didn't come back from the dead with blood. He came back with flesh and bone. And I will explain to you what the bone means. The flesh means the word of God. He has already said it. The flesh means the word of God. He has already told us that take this is my body broken for you. And the Bible says, and the word became flesh. So the flesh means the word. But the bone, it said, none of it shall be broken. Why? The Bible says that the spirit of a man sustains him in his affliction. But a broken spirit, who can bear? So all the affliction they afflicted Jesus, none of his bone was broken. Meaning his spirit was not broken. So the bone is symbolic of the spirit that sustained him in his affliction. You will get to know what I'm teaching now, so that you can understand. Now, Adam did not need to be born again. I want to tell you something. If you listen to the message, he said nobody was born again before the cross. Yes. All the people he mentioned, except two, were not born again. Adam was the one that was born of both the flesh and the spirit on the same day. God took the flesh, the soil, molded man. Then he breathed into him the breath of life. So both the body and the spirit came together. And Adam became a living word. That word, soul, means the word that God spoke. Those words, God said, let us make man. That is the soul of man. Now that word could not live until it is put in a body called the spirit. And the spirit is encased in the body called the flesh. Then it became a living soul. It began to express that word which God spoke. Who is a man? The words that God spoke over your life. That is who you are. So Adam, if you want to know Adam, let's go to Genesis. Let us define Adam. Let's define Adam in Genesis chapter 1. Definition is key in everything we do. Hallelujah. Definition is key. Amen. Verse 26. And God said, now these are the words of God. Let us make man in our own image. Definition of man. Who is man? Image of God. After our likeness. Who is man? Likeness of God. And let them have dominion. What does man have? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea. Over the fowl of the air. And over the cattle. That is why we can fly plane. Why? Because plane is designed as the fowl of the air. We have dominion to use them to get anything done. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, that is the soul of man. That word is the soul of man. That soul cannot live until it is placed in a conducive atmosphere that it can thrive. So God created the dust of the earth. But God cannot put the soul in the dust, because it will mean the dust of the earth, which is the flesh, will determine what the soul does. So we will be earthbound and we will be walking in the lust of our flesh.